will be true of all of us. We'll wish we'd done more for Christ, wish we'd given him more. Tonight, as we think about one word primarily, that is the word peace, I wonder if in your heart tonight you have complete peace. There are a lot of things that come in our lives to disturb that peace. A lot of happenings, a lot of things that come down the pike that we don't understand, that try to throw us, get us out of sorts, get us depressed, get us down, get us defeated, get us questioning God sometimes, whatever it may be. But we have the promise in the Word of God that God will give us peace if we want it. And I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 26, and I want to read verses 1 through 3. Verse 3 is our main text verse. We might think of having peace, the kind of peace that God wants to give us. And I'm confident that some of you in this building tonight may not have that peace. Number one, you may not be saved. You never have peace until you're saved. You never have this. But even though we're saved, sometimes things happen. Children disappoint you. Grandchildren can break your hearts. Financial reversals. Problems domestically. And we could just go on and on ad infinitum to so many different things that can come into our lives to try to rob us of that peace. Isaiah said in chapter 26, verse 1, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in." Now look at verse 3, our text verse. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Look at it again. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Perfect peace. "Whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." That's a beautiful verse to be familiar with, and it's not a bad one to think about every day of your life. To understand that if we keep our minds on the Lord, God is going to give us peace. Now, when we get saved, we have peace with God. That's salvation. I get saved, I have peace with God. I'm born again. But then afterwards, we have something called the peace of God, and that's a state that we're in as God's children. The peace with God, salvation. The peace of God dealing with sanctification, our growing up in the Lord, and our maturity. When I looked up a definition of peace, I read it in the dictionary, and it read like this: calm. You take a test while I'm going over these, all right? Calm, not fretting or worrying, freedom from disturbance, restful, no matter what the circumstances. That's a pretty stiff recipe, isn't it? To think about all of these different things that can come into our lives, and yet we're supposed to have perfect peace, as God tells us. Now, this promise and this song is for the people in the millennium, and I think it primarily is talking about the Jewish people here. And I know there will be no ultimate peace until the Prince of Peace comes back and sets up his kingdom. That's when we'll have total, complete peace in the world. And he's talking about the Jewish people here in the context in Isaiah 26, the millennial reign. And that peace is going to come to them. But I believe there are fulfillments that are way out there, and then there are some that are closer in. And I believe we can claim this verse for ourselves, that we too today can have great peace. I think when missionaries go to the foreign field, this is a great verse for them to take with them. When they get out there and they're away from their culture, they're away from their family, they're having to learn a language. Lord, help us to have to do that. And they're going through all of the things they go through and all of the adjustments they have. I would think this would be a great verse for missionaries to take with them on the field. and to have that perfect peace that only God can give. I think this is a good verse for us in a time of trouble. It's a good verse for us in a time of sickness. It's a good verse for us in a time of all kinds of affliction and disappointments in our life. And I believe it's needed today. There's a lot of lack of peace, it seems like, out there. And there's a lot of lack of peace in the world. While the world is going crazy, we ought to have peace. While everything's going haywire, as we used to use that expression down south in Louisiana, things are going haywire. Everything in the world seems to be going haywire now. And so there's a lack of peace in the world. Our homes domestically are having troubles. Divorce is high. We say, well, it's come down a little bit. Not really. What they've done is they've just started living with each other, and so therefore there's not as many divorces recorded, but it's the same problem. We have all of that. We have an absence of peace in our culture. People are worried to death about things, fretting over things, doubting about things, a lack of happiness, wondering what's going to happen next. I believe one of the key words, by the way, in this verse is so important that we capitalize on it, and that is the word trust. You see, because, the latter part of that verse says, because he trusteth in thee. We have to trust in him. It's a matter of our trust. It's a matter of our deciding to trust him. It's a matter of faith in believing what God has said. And so God tells us that we can have peace if we trust in him. A lot of times we talk about peace and we wallow around in that conversation, but we do not really trust him. And there are about four things quickly about that I want to mention. One is we can take refuge in the Lord if we trust in him. We can take refuge. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Under the wings of God, trusting in God. What are you going through tonight? What kind of problems are you having in your life? What are they? Are you trusting in God, taking refuge in the Lord? That reminds me of living out on the farm. And we used to raise chickens. We had chickens. And many a time I've seen my mother grab a chicken and wring its neck off and watch it flop. I know that's grotesque, and all you animal rights lovers, I'm sorry, but I like fried chicken. And I, but Mother would do that, and she'd put in that hot water, and we'd pluck those feathers off, and then we'd have chicken. But a lot of times there would be maybe a storm coming up, lightning and thunder back in the background. It was always a beautiful little picture, a wonderful picture, to see those little chicks, and the mother hen would just flitter like that with her wings, and those chicks would get under the wings, and they would find refuge under the mother hen during that time of the storm. That's sort of a picture of what we need, to trust in the Lord, to get under his wings, to lean on him. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in him, the writer said in the Word of God. What time I'm afraid, I will not panic. I will not take tranquilizers to keep me satisfied and spaced out whatsoever. There may be some medical reasons for some of that, but I'm going to have my peace, not in all of those things, but I'm going to have my peace in God, leaning on God. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I'll trust you, God, to see me through all of this. One of the pictures, I think that pictures is a little child. Have you ever seen a little child, and most of you have experienced it, leaning up against your leg, weeping and crying, and hanging on to that leg for dear life to get some kind of peace out of the whole situation. We have that with our grandkids. We have that with our kids. A tearful child in times of trouble. And we need to grab a hold of the leg of God and cry out unto him and ask God to rescue us and help us and to find our solace in him. Lean on him. Take refuge in him. Thirdly, roll over on him what he alone can carry. Roll over on him what he alone can carry. Listen, there's some things come down my way. I can't carry the load. I just can't do it. I can't carry the load of this church. All the different things that are involved. You'd be surprised at some of them, probably. But I can't carry the load of this church alone. I have to roll that baggage, that load, that off on the Lord God Almighty and know that He's there to help me out. And whenever you cannot do it, the Bible says he trusted on the Lord that He will deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. God will help you do that. Leave what you cannot solve to God. There's some things we run into, we can't work it out. There's the money runs out, the patience runs out, the knowledge of what to do runs out, and the cooperation of those you're trying to help runs out, and on, all of these things happen. But we need to realize we have to roll those things off on the Lord. Sometimes there's nothing you can do about it but pray. And take that baggage and just give it to God. And let Him take care of it. Don't be like the guy I told you about a while back, who the guy stopped in the wagon to pick him up, and he had his load on his back, and he said, take that load off and get in the wagon, and the guy wouldn't let go of the load. He rode in the wagon, but he kept the load on. There are a lot of Baptists that still do that. He would have been wiser to get in the wagon, lay the load down, and go with the wagon. And sometimes we just want to keep holding on to it. How much good has worrying ever done for you? How much good has it ever done and helped you out in your life in any way? You say, well, I don't know. It's just a good thing. I enjoy doing it. Some people, I think, enjoy worrying. But it doesn't help, does it? But I'll tell you what helps. Get on your face, get on your knees before Almighty God. And that'll be something that'll help you out. Roll over on Him what He alone can carry. Don't worry about things. And then to stay upon the Lord, to keep our minds and hearts upon the Lord. Although thou sayest thou shalt not see Him, yet judgment is before Him. Therefore trust thou in Him. In other words, Elihu was talking to Job, and what Elihu said, this was probably a good thing that he said this. He was simply saying, keep on trusting God. Just keep on trusting in the Lord. Keep on trusting God. Stay upon the Lord. A little girl was trying to cross a street corner in London, England, and traffic was terrible. She couldn't seemingly get across. She looked around, and there were a lot of people, and they were busy moving, and she just didn't know exactly what to do. Finally, she saw a tall, slender man, gray-haired man that seemed to have a kind face. And she looked at that man and said, sir, would you please help me across the street? I'm scared, and I don't think I'm going to ever get across unless somebody helps me. Later, he helped her, by the way, and she got across the street. And later, this man stood up in a political council. His name was Lord Shaftesbury. He was an important man, an important political figure. And he said to that council as they started out, he said, the other day I had paid to me the greatest compliment I have ever had in my political career. A little girl sought for someone she could trust to lead her across the street. And out of the hundreds of people there, she looked at this unworthy servant. I was paid the greatest compliment ever paid to me because someone trusted in me. And friend, that's the compliment we need to give to God. We don't need to panic and fall apart and worry ourselves to death. We just need to trust God. We need to look up in His kind, gentle face and say, help me across the street. And let Him know that we're trusting Him to do that, we know He's there. The greatest compliment to God is because He trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord. Now, let me give you about five things very quickly. You was hoping that was only four, weren't you? But I'm going to give you five more. Five things about this peace that God gives. Number one, peace amid unprecedented turmoil. Peace amid unprecedented turmoil. Whenever one of these days the tribulation comes, God is going to pour out His wrath and His judgment. The Bible says, behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty and maketh it waste and turneth it upside down and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. God's going to do that someday. But until then, we're living in sort of a terrible age, really. You think this is something, thank God we'll be out of here. We won't go through the tribulation. But those that are going through the tribulation, they haven't seen an ounce, not even the tip of the iceberg, of what's going to happen during the horrible tribulation days. But we run into some things today. We sort of live in a terrible age, I think. And I try to keep a positive attitude about the whole thing, but we're living in a terrible age. Look at what happened in Moore, Oklahoma the other day. Can you imagine some savage cutting a woman's head off here in the United States like that? I know some terrible things have happened. We face ISIS and ISIL, and if you don't think they're a threat, you are not thinking. My dear friend, their goal, all of the leadership, the radical Muslims, if you want to call them that, their goal is to take over the world. Their goal is to have a one world religion. Their goal is to get the Jews and the Christians out of the way. Now, which category are you in? I hope most of you here tonight are Christians. And we know that if they get in power, they're going to consider us the enemy, and they'll take your head off in a New York minute. They'll murder you. They'll kill you. They'll rape the daughters, and they'll kill the children, so on and so forth. That's what their goal is. I'm glad we're taking a little action. I hope we'll take more action against them. But we live in that kind of thing. Some of our members, Brother Oscar, could not get back home on time the other day because somebody went into that tower in Chicago, set himself on fire or whatever, and tried to kill himself, and it affected the whole world. We have crazy things happening like that. State troopers being murdered and many things. And we've always had crime. But I'm telling you, when you look at the world scene and what's going on, some people who are in the political know have already gone on record as saying we're actually in World War III. And I don't know if I could say that or not, but they're saying if you'll stop and study history and look at how those others started and how we got drug into those wars, you'll see what's going on right now. It's sort of a terrible age. But we can still have peace in this age because we keep our minds on the Lord and we trust in Him. I read about an art contest. The art contest was to get someone, get the artist to paint the pictures of what they thought was the most serene picture of peace. And so the artist painted some pictures. One of the pictures was an elderly lady with glasses on. And she was rocking in a rocking chair with her Bible in her hands. That's a beautiful picture of peace. An elderly saint of God rocking in a rocking chair. You know, somebody said Americans are the ones that came up with the rocking chair. We weren't satisfied with sitting down. We wanted to sit down and be moving. And so we came up with a rocking chair. But that's a beautiful picture of a woman doing that. Another picture, an artist painted, a little baby that was a newborn baby in the arms of a loving mother and asleep, very content, very pleased, very secure. Well, that's a beautiful picture of peace. And yet the one that won it was entirely different. It's so different, radically different. It was a picture of waterfalls coming down, raging waterfalls, dropping many feet from the top of the rocks. And that water was in the picture, you could tell that it was leaping over the rocks and falling below. And then there was a tree and a limb out of that tree that was on the top of the rocks. And in that was a bird's nest. And in that bird's nest, with all that raging and all of that water and all of that going over that area and that territory, was a mother bird with her little birds under her asleep. That's a beautiful picture of peace. And when everything is raging in my life, in your life, and when our hearts are broken and we weep and we cry and we're disappointed and we hurt and we go through things that we'd rather not be going through, this is a picture of God. God, there in the turmoil, giving us peace. He that keeps his mind on the Lord, God will give him perfect peace. And then there's peace in view of an unparalleled wrath. Let me tell you, one of these days, God is going to have his day. It's going to come. Now, man has his day. Man has his day. They laugh at us. They blaspheme us. They make fun of us. They make fun of God. Some of our people, we're in a prayer room tonight, one of our men praying. He was talking about visiting some people yesterday. They don't care about God. They're not interested in God. They don't want God. This is their day. That's the way they are. We have intellectualism. We have all of the elite humanists that really make fun of us, and they blaspheme the Lord. But the Scripture says in 2 Peter, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. God's going to have His day. It's going to take place. Let me tell you, if you're out there tonight, if there's anybody out there and you're rejecting God now, He's going to have His hour with you later. You need to get saved. You don't want this. You don't want to go through that. One of these days, the stars are going to fall out of their sockets. The seas are going to be turned into blood, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? You're not going to be able to stand unless you're born again and saved. And one of these days, it's going to happen. I read about another picture that was a picture of a little farm in Germany. And on that little farm in Germany, behind, similar to what I've already shared with you, but behind all of that was a storm, the dark clouds, and lightning was pictured in it, and the storm was coming. And in that painting, it showed a mother and a father and some children and some of their animals running into a little farmhouse for refuge. And in the midst of the storm, going in there. That's what we need to do with Jesus. Run into His loving arms. Run into His helping arms, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I've found my refuge. How about you? I found a refuge. And that's Jesus Christ, Rock of Ages. Cleft for me. Let me hide myself in Thee. He's there. He is my refuge. He is your refuge. And then there will be peace of unexcelled description. Look at what He says. I would keep him in perfect peace. The original is shalom, shalom. Thou would keep him in peace, real peace. Real peace. Perfect peace. What is perfect peace? I think Jesus had perfect peace, don't you? I really believe Jesus had perfect peace. Jesus had it. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. The peace that Jesus had. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Perfect peace is the peace that Jesus gives us. Jesus had perfect peace, and He can give it to us. You can have the same kind of peace tonight that Jesus had in His relationship with the Father. And remember, He was as much God as man, as much man as God, and yet He had that perfect peace. I wonder, what kind of peace do you enjoy in your life tonight? What kind of peace are you enjoying in your life tonight? And then there will be peace from an unlimited source. An unlimited source. Truth, wilt thou wilt keep him rather in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, stayed on whom? Not the preacher, not your best Christian friend, not some psychiatrist or psychologist, or not anybody else, but our minds must be stayed on God, on the Lord, and God is the source of all this peace. God is the source. Now, some people think if I just had more money, I'd have peace. Money is often as not is not a matter of peace. Sometimes it's a matter of dividing people. Study all these people. Do a little study on it of these people who've won the lottery, and 9 times out of 10, it's messed up their family, messed up their house, their home, rather, and messed up everything they were involved in. They thought money was going to bring them all that peace. And I know you're thinking, well, I could use a little more of it, preacher. I probably all of us could, but let me tell you, that's not where peace is going to come. There are a lot of rich people, friend, that do not have peace. They just do not have peace. I was talking to a pastor in this area the other day. We were having lunch. And he began to tell me about his dermatologist. And he was saying that he had had to wait on him about an hour. And he was very mad, sort of fretful, because he had had to wait so long. And he was about ready to just say whatever came on his mind. And hopefully good stuff. But when the doctor came in, they got in a conversation, found out some of his members had given him a book, and he was reading that book. And something came up in the conversation about it, and so finally, he just witnessed to this man, just asked him, "Are you saved?" Now, this is probably the most well-known dermatologist in the whole Metroplex. I mean, he is top-notch. He's written up in all the papers and all of that. I go to him. That's why I'm still so good-looking. I go to the dermatologist all the time. And I've been trying to get plastic surgery. My wife won't let me have it. But at any rate, this guy, I've been in his presence, and he'd just start cussing the blue streak. Man, he's slim and trim, and he is obnoxious usually, and he's arrogant and all of that, and he'd cuss a blue streak. And he said to me one time, "Oh, I forgot you're a minister." I said, "Well, you..." He said, "I'm sorry." I said, "You're asking the wrong one." I said, "You need to be asking him, the man there, the man Jesus Christ, the one in heaven." And we had a little conversation. But at any rate, he led him to the Lord. Listen, that guy, with all of his success, all of his money, and all of that, that guy didn't have peace in his heart. And you'd look at him and say, he's the picture of success. And in many ways in the world, he is. But he didn't have peace. I pray to God he now has peace. And when I go back to him, I want to talk to him about the Lord some more, and hopefully he'll have a testimony there for it. But money is not going to buy it. Social attainment will never get you peace. I can just achieve, I'll have peace. And you won't do it. It's not going to bring you peace. Worldly success won't do it. As a matter of fact, it's usually the opposite of that. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Acquaint yourself with Jesus. Thereby good shall come unto thee. You just can't beat that. Acquaint yourself with the Lord and good will come to you. Trust in him and he'll give you perfect peace, because God is the God of peace. And four times in the New Testament, and he talks about this peace, Hebrews 13:20. Now the God of peace. That's who he is, the God of peace. He wants you to have peace in your heart tonight. And that is something that he expects out of us. Not worrying, not chewing our fingernails off. Down south we say fingernails. I slipped up there. Now you know that I'm a real southerner. But the fingernails, biting them off, doing all of that, worrying and fainting and just having a hard time, being depressed and fretting over the world conditions and political conditions and all of those things. Friend, God tells us it should be a rule in our life and a way of living in our life and a strict philosophy in our life that we trust God for our peace, that we find our peace in the Lord. Then it's a peace that knows no end. Look at it. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. That is something that he uses the word there in the first part. Thou wilt keep him. Keep. I like that word. Thou wilt keep him. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. That's not the way it ought to be. Thou wilt keep him all the time in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Not here today and gone tomorrow. It's not your environment, it's not your circumstances that give you that peace. It's keeping your mind on the Lord. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be careful for nothing. Another way of saying that is don't worry about things. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? That's where it is. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Be thankful for what you have. Use what you have. Pray for what you need. And leave it in the hands of Almighty God. Because God will take care of whatever it may be. And we ought to give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things. By the way, God didn't say feel good in all things. Right? Sometimes we don't feel good about how we feel. But it's not a matter of feeling good. It's a matter of obeying the Lord. It's obedience. Give thanks in all things. And it's not just when we feel like it, we're to do it. But it all gets started when you get saved, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. Just I want to be clear about this in case somebody here is unsaved tonight. There is no peace in your heart, never will be, if you're trusting your works and trusting self to get you to heaven. Anybody trusting, how many works do you got to do? How many do you have to keep up? And when you fail, how do you get over that? And some people struggle and say, well, I just don't know for sure. I don't have security. You're depending on the wrong one. You got to trust in God. And it's not your works. It isn't what you can come up with that gives you peace. It's what Christ has already done. And it is found not in ordinances, not in people, not in church tradition and all of those things. It's found in Christ alone. You see, if you doubt your salvation, and some people struggle with this, listen to me now, you just don't have enough. You've got to trust the Lord. You've got to believe what He says. You have to do it. And you say, well, I hope I got saved, or I know I prayed, but I just, you know, I want to be sure. Did I really pray the right thing? Did I really say the right thing? Listen, friend, if you were sincere and you meant it and you prayed, God came into your heart and saved you. And think about the Passover. Go back to that great event in Exodus where the Lord said, I'm going to send the death angel through, and the death angel is going to pass over. But here's what you need to do. Go in the house, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel. And my friend, how many people in the house were safe? All of them. And how many of them do you think had the same kind of faith, the same amount of faith? I think maybe sometimes mom and daddy had more faith than the kids, but they said, hey, you need to get in here because judgment's coming. You need to get under the blood. Now get in the house. And they said, okay, and they got in the house. And if you've trusted the blood of Jesus Christ, you're in the house. And when the death angel comes or when judgment comes, God is going to pass over you in that sense. Man is not partly dead. You ever seen anybody partly dead? You say, well, I feel like it sometimes. I feel like I'm half dead. No, friend, you're either alive or dead. You may feel lousy, but you're alive or dead. There's no in between. And man is not partly dead or partly alive, half dead and still alive. But we're not partly saved or half saved. You say, well, I think I'm saved. I'm half saved or I'm trying to be saved. No, you're either saved or you're not saved. It's that simple. You're not partly saved. I'm justified or condemned. That's it. Tonight, you're sitting here. You're either condemned right now because you haven't trusted Christ, or you're justified because you've trusted Him as your Savior. You may not be living like it. You may be living like you're not saved, and God help you if you are, but you're either condemned or you're justified. It's one or the other. It's not both. And that's where it all starts, with trusting Christ as your Savior. Let's stand, please. Our invitation to you as a believer is bring your burdens to the Lord. You have burdens tonight. You have things that are on your mind, on your heart. The Bible tells us that he that trusteth in the Lord, he will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth thee. What are your problems tonight? What are your challenges? What are the things you're dealing with? Is it a family member? Is it a mate? Is it a sickness? Is it financial reversal? Is it other problems? Is it in your life? Bring them to the Lord. Get on your knees tonight. If you have wayward children, come down here and pray at this old altar. Beg God to bring them back, to get them right. You know somebody that's hurting tonight, come down here at this old altar and pray for them. Cast your care upon the Lord. He cares for you. If you're here without Christ, come and be saved. Father, we pray now you're blessing the invitation. Lord, I pray that we would know that the wise thing to do is to always trust in you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to have peace, that perfect peace. Some here tonight don't have it, and I pray they'd get it. And I pray they'd do it by the Bible formula. Bless us. Save the lost in Christ's name. Amen. While we sing, may God help you to come. Would you do it?